Welcome to this episode of Planting Seeds. I'm Keith Jones, the preaching minister of Calera Church of Christ, and I've prepared a short message from Scripture that's intended to be the planting of a seed that, if cultivated, will in time produce fruit in the lives of the listeners. Now, let's get started. The Lord bless and keep you, may His face shine upon you, and be gracious, and give you peace. In this episode, we'll continue our study of the book of Romans, looking at Romans chapter 11. In the previous few chapters, Paul has been talking about the Jewish people and their relationship to God and to his plan to incorporate all nations into his family. Paul has told us that God did not break his covenant with Abraham, but the Jewish people had. The Jews had put more faith in their ability to keep the law than they had in God's ability to change them through the law. But these were not reasons for the Gentiles to look down on the Jews. Now, if you have a Bible with you, follow along while I read from Romans 11, 1 through 6. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God for Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed a knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. Paul says here that God has not rejected Israel. He says he wouldn't even do that when Elijah asked him to. There were very dark days in the history of Israel where it seemed that most of the people had neglected God, had begun to worship other gods. In Elijah's time, he was convinced he was the only one who still honored God as God. But God responded to him that there was a remnant or a group of people that had been preserved by him who believed in him and honored him. And Paul says in the same way, by the grace of God, not all Jews have been destroyed. Not all Jews have rejected Jesus. But by his grace, there is a remnant that has been preserved. Let's continue reading in Romans chapter 11, verse 7. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened, as it is written. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear, down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see and bend their backs forever. Paul says that the Jewish people, as a whole, had not been able to find what they were looking for, primarily because they were looking for the wrong thing. They were looking for what they wanted and what they expected rather than what God was actually giving them. And because it didn't look like they expected it to, they didn't see it. Paul quoted a combination of Deuteronomy 29:4 and Isaiah 29:10 to say that God had caused them not to be able to see and had kept their ears from being able to hear. Because of the actions God was taking, many in the Jewish nation were blinded to what God was doing. God had actually become the thing that blinded the people. I think this is similar to when he said Jesus had become a stumbling block to the Jews. It wasn't that God or Jesus had done anything wrong, but the things that they were doing didn't meet expectations, and it was causing some people to reject them. In the same way, in our day, some people end up rejecting God because they don't accept his work or his plan for our lives. They see God's commandments as burdensome or keeping them from experiencing something that's important to them, and so they reject God. This was happening during Paul's time as well. Now let's continue reading in verse 11. So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentile, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now, I'm speaking to you Gentiles, and as much then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? In this section, Paul lets us know that Israel had stumbled, but they had not fallen out of the picture. The mistakes they had made, the errors in judgment, the lack of wisdom, were all things that could be overcome through God's power. Their stumbling had, however, provided a path of salvation for Gentiles. Paul hoped that this would make the Jews jealous so that they would turn back to God. If Gentiles experience good things because of Israel's failures, when the Jews turn back to God, it will be much better. And if rejection by Israel brings about reconciliation between God and the world, when a Jew turns back to God, he will certainly live. So those Gentiles were not to look down on or scorn those Jews who had rejected Jesus. There was still hope and opportunity for them. Paul said that God's people were a vine that grew out of a root, and that vine had been exclusively Israelites until the time of Christ. But during the course of Israel's history and up until the point of Jesus, there were branches that had been broken off. Those would be the unbelieving and rebellious Jews. But in their place, God had grafted in wild branches, which represent the Gentiles or the other nations of the world. They had been grafted into this vine and were being nourished by the same root that the original vine had been. But then Paul cautions the wild branches not to become arrogant, because if a branch lives, it is because of the root. The branches do not sustain the root. Some branches were pruned so that others could be grafted in. The branches that were pruned were unbelievers so that the branches of faith could be added. But if God didn't spare some of the natural branches because they needed to be pruned, he certainly would be willing to prune grafted branches that weren't feeding off of the root. But Paul lets us know that any branch that has been broken off can be regrafted in if it returns to a belief in God. Let's continue the reading in verse 25. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob, and this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards to the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as regards to election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too now have been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has co-signed all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. Here, Paul says that he's revealing a mystery, something that has been true but unknown up until this time, that the hearts of the Jews will be hard for a time. But as more and more Gentiles turn to God, Jews will see how God intends to deliver them. In this way, all of Israel will be saved. I do think that it bears noting here that when Paul says all Israel will be saved, you have to understand that in light of the things that he's already said, that all who are descendants of Abraham are not Israel. Israel are those who accept God in faith. So everyone who comes to God in faith, whether Jew or Gentile, will be saved. He's even said that there is not a different plan for Jew and Gentile. We are all saved by the same grace. So Paul is not saying here that Jews get a pass and have a different way to access salvation than Gentiles. He's saying that as we all come to faith, regardless of our nation, we become the people of God, and all of Israel, all of God's people will be saved. God has given gifts and made promises that cannot be taken away, and all of his people will be rescued. So what do we learn from this? Well, let's look at how Paul closes the chapter. Starting in verse 33, it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has been given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." In these verses are the point that Paul wants us to take away. As God has worked in and through the Jewish nation to bring about salvation to all the nations, he's not rejected the Jewish people. He's given them the same opportunity. So Paul says that there is absolutely wisdom in what God is doing. He didn't destroy everyone who was disobedient, because if he did, the nations would not have had access to God, because there would have been no one through whom the Messiah could come. So God showed them mercy. He showed them favor. But it was to bring them to a point where everyone could experience salvation on the basis of faith. Paul says you cannot find any fault in the way he executes judgment, and we could never set a course for our lives as good as he can. He quotes Isaiah 40:13 and says, "No one can think like God, or think higher than God so that they can give him advice." And he quotes Job when he says that no one has ever given God anything, any kind of gift, that puts God in debt to them. God doesn't owe us anything. But Paul says that God is the beginning of all things. Everything started with him. He is the creator. And God is in the middle of all things. He has been working in and around and through all people and all circumstances to bring about his will. And God is the end of all things. God will decide how things work out. Because of this, the Jews and the Gentiles don't need to fight with each other. They need to give glory to God forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for listening. You can find more of these messages on our website, KaliraChurchOfChrist.org, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast app. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.